Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Could I interest you in some stats?
Numbers are hot.
Numbers are hot.
Texans 2019 defense. 24 points per game, 19th in the NFL. 388 yards per game, 28th in the NFL. 267 passing yards per game, 29th in the NFL. 31 sacks, 27th in the NFL. Forced turnovers, 22, 16th in the NFL. Rushing yards per game, 125. That's 9th in the NFL, but there is no DJ Reader, who's now in Cincinnati. And dead last in third down and red zone defense. Defense was a problem for this team last year. You lost DJ Reader. Really didn't add any significant pieces. You added Ross Blacklock and you added Eric Murray. Still don't know what an Eric Murray is.
Who?
Tell me why the D stiffens in 2020 for the Texans. Tell me why, with all the questions on offense, I should feel good about the other side of the pill.
You're banking on new faces, in terms of coaching, new approaches. And you're banking on a rookie. It's not a promising outlook. It's really not defensively. All I got is that is Anthony Weaver going to be his different look as defensive coordinator? Is he going to be that big of an influence and impact on the defensive side of the ball? That's what you're banking on. You're banking on guys stepping up and playing. And this is why I asked John McClain this earlier. I think it's huge. When you look at this defensive depth chart, you just said you don't know what an Eric Murray is. I mean, that's an exaggeration.
No, I really don't.
It's a little bit of an exaggeration.
No, I really don't.
But
I'm being 100%. I have no idea who this guy is. They gave $6 million a year to play safety. I have no idea.
You're right. I mean, Eric Murray is unproven. Literally, people did not know who he was who covered the Cleveland Browns. That's not an exaggeration. That guy. You're banking on that. You're banking on the rookie, Ross Blacklock. And here's where it got really interesting to me, because you just gave those stats out. I mean, there's no pressure on the quarterback. There's no real pass defense, which, defense in general was 28th. Passing was 29th.
The most important stat is two stats on defense are third down and red zone, and they were dead last, John.
Yeah.
They were dead last in third down and red zone.
And that points to pressure on the quarterback, giving him time on third down. Red zone, giving him time to find and for receivers to come open when the field is shrinking right there in the red zone. And then I like to point at yards per game and passing yards per game, where they were 28th and 29th. That points to pressure on the quarterback. So you're telling me that outside of J.J. Watt, now hopefully he'll have another monstrous season. from 2 years ago. they literally, and J.J. said these words. That's why I asked John about it. They're counting on Charles Omenihu.
Okay, a fifth-round pick in his second year.
And Jacob Martin.
A guy who can't be on the field for three downs.
He's a throw-in.
He's a guy that you just tell, go rush the passer, see ball. Get ball. That's it. He's not a guy that you can have out there all the time.
So those are the two guys that you're – again, I am a little warmer to the idea of Omenihu taking a big step. Going into his second year, showed some flashes, even though he was a fifth-rounder last year. Maybe he'll get some more snaps, whatever.
He's been working with DeMarcus Ware.
But yeah, and that too. But you got to really sell me on Jacob Martin. I mean, the guy's never started a game in his life, ever. He's a one-trick pony. He comes in to rush the quarterback, and he had a total of 3.5 sacks. His one thing he does is rush the quarterback on third down, and he had 3.5 sacks last year. That's a tough sell.
And I mean, the thing is, like, I'm not saying Jacob Martin's not a nice player to have on a roster. I'm not saying he can't help you out. But when you're talking about relying on him for your defense, that was one of the worst in the league last year, to improve, that's not encouraging. But let's see if, with football season a month away, the face of the franchise, or the former face of the franchise, best player in franchise history, J.J. Watt, can sell us on this defense. Sell me this pin, J.J. Just sell me this pin. Here is J.J. Watts talking about one of the worst defenses in the league improving in 2020 despite losing one of their most important pieces in D.J. Reader. Sell me this pin, J.J.
The red zone is the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, it's pretty clear in the game of football, the team that scores the most points wins. So when teams get down in the red zone, you have to make sure you keep them out. And that's a big thing we're focused on. Obviously, getting off the field on third down, giving the ball back to our offense is huge. And one of the main ways to do that is stopping the run on first and second down. So you put them into tougher third down situations. Coach Weaver's done a great job so far in our virtual meetings and in the first day we've had. And we're looking forward to keep working with them in the future.
To me, the biggest concern there when you talk about red zone and you talk about third down is I think that's when stopping the run is the most important. And they were ninth in the league in that. And you know who the most important piece was in that. You can tell me D.J. Reader played 56% of the snaps and all that, but when it comes to stopping the run on first down and all that, D.J. Reader's one of the best in the game at that.
I didn't get that stat either when McClain said, well, he only played 56% of the snap. Yeah, first and second down. I mean, you know, that was the 56% first and second down when you got to stop the run and get him in those passing situations, and he had success doing that. And then once you're in a passing situation, you still got to count on Omenihu and Jacob Martin and Anthony Weaver, who I don't know. And I've never met anyone who doesn't like him and doesn't think highly of him, including us, and think that there's something there. But it's still his first year, Landry. I mean, you move over one spot, you know, in that meeting room from assistant or defensive line coach to coordinator. That's a hot seat. I mean, and it's something that you have to get used to. Especially if you've never ever called defenses before on your own.
We'll hear from DeAndre Hopkins in 15 minutes. I might need some closure. I don't know if this is going to make me more sad or if it's going to provide me the closure that I long for, but we'll hear from Nuke in 15 minutes. Might have a new best friend, and it breaks my heart to hear that. But we talk about Nuke on the offensive side. On the defensive side, D.J. Reader, obviously gone, could be just as big of a loss for that side of the rock. He's also one of J.J. Watt's best friends. Here is number 99 talking about the loss of D.J. Reader and the current state of the D-line room.
Without D.J., obviously D.J. is one of my best friends. I'm very happy for him and the contract that he got, and I wish him all the best. You know, I've seen him this offseason quite a bit. Definitely going to miss him. I mean, just a guy that he's one of my best friends, so you're always going to miss one of your best friends when they leave. But the thing I love about our D-line room is our camaraderie. I mean, our D-line room is so tight-knit and so close. I love going to work with these guys every day, Donnie and the whole crew, Angelo, Carlos, everybody. So it's a lot of fun, and I enjoy it. But coming to work in general is weird now. I mean, it's like we're in like a Terminator movie or something. Like there's facial recognition doors, and you don't touch anybody, and you have like a beeper. It's pretty wild.
I mean, that didn't really encourage me on anything.
Nothing.
Like, I mean, he misses D.J. Reader, and it's weird to come
to work.
Called
him his best friend like three times.
And he said it's weird to come to work. Like, he's not selling me this pen right now. I will say that. Now, what about Charles Omenihu and Ross Blacklock? Second-year player Charles Omenihu and rookie Ross Blacklock out of TCU. What about these guys? These are going to be the guys that you rely on to replace D.J. Reader and replace that production and get some production on that defensive front. What about those guys? Sell me on that, J.J., please.
So I'm very interested, A, to see what shape guys are in. I believe our guys have been working their asses off all offseason. And I've seen the videos of Charles and what he's been doing. I know Ross has been working hard. I'm really looking forward to seeing these guys and seeing how they are in shape, and then also seeing what they can do on the field. For a guy like Charles going from year one to year two, that's a big transition, and it's a chance to make a big jump. And for a guy like Ross, it's a tough year to come in as a rookie, not having a chance to do OTAs, learn the playbook and things like that. But if he can prove he can pick it up quickly and get out there and help us, that would be huge.
Okay.
I'm depressed.
Are you sold on it?
No, you're not. You're not sold on it. I mean, he's really, I can't blame JJ. He's just a messenger.
He's being honest.
He's stating facts. I mean, yeah, going into a second year, that's tough. You know, it's a tough thing to do. No off season for Blacklock. Yeah, that's tough too. I mean, good Lord.
Here is JJ on taking the next step. So we haven't been sold on the defense. Is it safe to say?
Safe to say.
Yeah, we are not sold on this Texans defense. But what about the team as a whole? Maybe the offense can carry the defense, and the defense can just make opportunistic plays on third down or whatever. Maybe they can win every game 50-40. Mm-hmm. Maybe you know the offense is just thrilling, and it's a joyride with Tim Kelly. But what about taking that next step, JJ? How close are the Texans to taking that next step that John Lopez and all the loopholes and all the listeners want the Texans to take?
I mean, we have to go to work. I mean, it's no different than any other year. Every single year, the goal is the same. So it's not like we're not trying to do those things. And there's no secret about what makes football teams successful. It's just a matter of who executes that the best. And in this year, there's a whole bunch more factors that factor into it. Which team does the best job of staying healthy? Which team does the best job of being responsible and disciplined off the field so that they don't have positive tests, having guys have to sit out? This year is so much different than every other year. That's going to be just as big a factor as any.
See, not sold. I mean,
but he's right. He's right.
He's
again.
Right. But
yeah, he's right again.
The bottom line is JJ is not selling Kool-Aid. He's not. There's a lot of Kool-Aid that is being sold from NRG and talk. JJ, and I think Deshaun too, is selling us that real talk. So if you want to get a pulse of this team and what exactly the realistic expectations are, I think if you want some Kool-Aid and you want to get that red mustache and feel good about things and it not necessarily be reality, I think Easterby and O'Brien are the guys to go to. If you want to be sold reality and how the two most important guys in that building on the offensive and defensive side of the ball feel, I think J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson have given you a dose of reality that, no, this team isn't going to be one of the worst teams, but there's going to have to be a lot of things that go their way for them to take that, quote, next step.
I respect that he's not sugarcoating anything. It just doesn't make you feel a lot better. There are some severe questions on the defensive side of the ball. And then you think, okay, well, at least they've got a decent secondary, some experience there, you know, with Justin Reed, Bradley Roby's, you know, back, you know, some of these other guys. I saw something this morning. I think it was NFL Network rated them the 27th best secondary in football. And I'm like, come on, Deshaun. Come on, Deshaun.
I mean, that seems about right.
Yeah.
I mean, again, offensive line, quarterback, if you just take those two things, Texans, that's it doesn't get much better than that. There aren't too many teams better. But as far as defense and the question at receiver, there's a lot of things that need to happen. But that's why they play the game, and that's why they're going to start playing the game next month. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We got a two-piece combo today. Obviously, and we got
with our two-piece classic combo.
There we go, two-piece classic combo, and we also got football season starting next month. Training camp going on right now. We'll hear from Randall Cobb and Whitney Merciless very, very shortly. But coming up, I need closure. I need it. DeAndre Hopkins had some interesting things to say. It might make you move on, but it might make you cry. We're hearing from Newt next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Going to hear from Whitney Merciless and Randall Cobb live from Texans training camp. Month till football season, two-piece combo going down tonight. Rockets and Astros back in action. I need this. I need some closure from DeAndre Hopkins. It's been hard, and it's especially hard when there's a love fest going on, John Lopez, between the quarterback of the Texans and DeAndre Hopkins online yesterday.
Yeah, they were going at it. There was a lot of fist bumps, virtual fist bumps.
Baby, you're my
there.
Greatest love.
Yeah, kind of.
And kinda. People are telling me, well, you need to move on. How the hell am I supposed to move on when Deshaun Watson and Nuke Hopkins are going back and forth? So the NFL voted, the players voted DeAndre Hopkins as the 8th best player in the league. He, quote, tweeted the video, which my gosh, what a montage of greatness from DeAndre Hopkins. And he said, reality. So he said, reality. So basically, I'm good. Everybody knows that. That's reality.
Mm-hmm.
Deshaun Watson replied to that and said, blessed / honored to be a part of something legendary. 100 emoji and praying hands emoji. Nuke replied and said, "Honored to have helped your legacy. Born and raised in Clemson, you changed a small town forever. Houston, lucky to have you, my guy." So how the heck am I, John Lopez, supposed to move on if Deshaun can't even move on from it?
Well, I didn't read it like that. I get your point, and it's not a bad one. My feeling on this was Deshaun is really, really affected by this. I mean, it's still going on, right? I know they're just friends, and you can move on from each other and just be friends, right? Isn't that what the girls always say? Let's just be friends. That's not what this is. I mean, they talk more than they do on Instagram. You know, they talk a lot. They've worked out together a lot, even after the trade. We've seen some evidence of that. This is just kind of going public, like, man, I still think about you. This is still my guy. And I think it just affects Deshaun pretty deeply still.
It's going to affect Texans fans after every game. Whenever the offense doesn't get it going, Texans fans are going to be impacted by this. Here is DeAndre Hopkins. And tell me if this helps you feel better about the situation, because I'm trying to move on.
Yeah.
Deshaun's making it hard on me. My lack of confidence in Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks is making it hard on me, although I do think the offense can be pretty good. But this is Nuke talking about what it was like to put on an Arizona Cardinals uniform. Nuke, how did that feel?
Felt great. Felt good. Gave me chills. Not going to lie, man, it felt real good to be part of a great organization. And, man, the Cardinal red and white and black look good on me, if I do say so myself.
they do have pretty sweet uniforms. It does hurt, doesn't it? Like making it real.
It gave him chills.
Kind of makes it real, doesn't it?
Chills?
Well, I think what helps him is he knows he's going to be playing with Kyler Murray.
Chills, dude. He said it gives him chills to put on that uniform.
Yeah. I don't think this is helping, Figgy. I don't think Landry's getting over it the way we were hoping he would.
Here's DeAndre Hopkins. We know him and Deshaun are pretty good friends. Best friends on the team. This one really hurts. This is DeAndre Hopkins talking about building his relationship with the new quarterback.
My expectations is us becoming best friends and doing everything together, because I have to be on the same page with my quarterback no matter what for us to be successful as a team, not just him and I.
He's excited.
He's getting a new best friend.
Will you be my friend? Remember elementary school? You just walk up to somebody.
I was the one getting walked up to.
Well, me too, but I didn't want to brag. I didn't want to brag, you know. Will you be my friend?
He just said he's got to find a new best friend.
He's going to find a new best friend. I wonder how Deshaun feels about that.
This is really going to happen.
It is going to happen. It's happening.
Next month, I'm going to have to watch DeAndre Hopkins play football for somebody else.
Catching passes from Kyler Murray. Yep. It's going to be so weird, man.
So, what if he doesn't get a new contract and he plays?
Is that a good look or a bad look for the Texans?
It's a terrible look, right?
Yeah.
It's a terrible look. And I think it's a terrible look that Clowney's not getting what he wants, because you probably could have played some hardball with him and maybe you would have got him at a bargain. And we wouldn't be sitting here saying,
yeah,
Jacob Martin needs to have a big year for the defense to be good. We could be talking about Clowney.
We're talking about Jacob Martin being the key to putting pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
A new best friend.
Outside of JJ, of course.
A new best friend. Kyler Murray. Here's more from Nuke. Obviously, the Cardinals run a different type of offense. Cliff Kingsbury's got that air raid. They play very fast. Texans do not really run up-tempo as much as we'd like. Clint Sterner, it chaps his butt. He brings it up time after time. Here's Nuke Hopkins, the future best friend of Kyler Murray, who got chills when he put on a new uniform.
Yeah.
Talking about the difference between his new offense and his old offense.
Yeah, I think, obviously I was in a run first offense in my previous team.
What?
I still managed to, have, great,
to be a badass,
great seasons. But before that, I was familiar with the no-huddle offense at Clemson. I liked it. I think I had 18 touchdowns my last year. in that offense as a junior. So I'm familiar with the offense. You have to be in shape. And the defense also has to be in shape that you're going against, which I think is an advantage.
No comment on that.
His shots, I was just going to say, Figgy.
Run first.
His shots at Bill O'Brien are brilliantly subtle. Brilliantly subtle. He's taken a bunch of shots at Bill O'Brien without directly taking them. Exactly. Yeah, you know, well, obviously we were in a run-first offense. Oh, good thing we got Duke Johnson, by the way. And I still was, you know, pretty much a badass and the best receiver in the game. That was... It's going to be scary with him and Kyler Murray. It really is.
2222 says, you guys sound so soft.
Soft? How? Because we miss a guy that could really help this team?
1910 on the text line, 713-572-4610. We all know, let's not say we on the text line. It's an individual thing. That's a good thing, is you have an individual voice. You're speaking for yourself. This ain't a three-way phone call, 1910. We know how much he'd rather play with Watson over Murray. Let's stop this stuff. It's getting old. He's gone. Let's stop rehashing this, please. The quarterback's talking about it, man.
Yesterday. He had a media availability to talk about it.
He talked about it on Saturday, but yesterday he's talking about how much of an honor it was to be a part of something legendary. How do you expect me to get over it if the quarterback isn't getting over it?
Exactly. But I don't know if I love or hate. I kind of love the little subtle shot he took right there. Like, yeah, just so you guys know, I was really, really, really good in a run-first offense.
Man. 9008 says, going back to the Clowney thing, Clowney's not even close to a terrible look. 30 other teams have said no to $20-23 million. Come on, 6'10". First of all, it's come on Landry Locker and John Lopez, because our opinions don't represent all of 6'10". So let's not generalize it here. That doesn't make the Texans look better, because the Texans got rid of him because they weren't going to give him what he wanted. He's going to have to take less than that. So you look worse, because you could have had him at a bargain. You could have had him closer to what you thought the price was. Sometimes when DeAndre Hopkins wants a new contract, or when Jadeveon Clowney wants a new contract, you have to wait it out.
Yeah.
And a lot of times these things smooth out over time and the market plays. So no, it doesn't matter what 31 other teams did. He was a two-time Pro Bowler and an All-Pro here. So it doesn't make you look better because 31 other teams said no. It makes you look worse because you got rid of him and you could have had him at a bargain. I want to move past this Nuke thing. It's hard, though.
It is.
It's hard.
It is. And once the season starts, it'll be a little bit easier because he's going to be there. It'll hurt watching him, watching the highlights, but he's going to be there. Deshaun's going to have his guys. And I'll just say one more thing on Clowney. While I don't think he's going to sign for that number,
he's not.
Let me remind you, let's just wait. He hasn't signed just yet. It's going to be a big number. We all know where he ranks as a defensive, as an outside rusher. You know, every team in the league would like to have him. He's just a terror in the backfield against the run. It's not done yet, all right?
DeAndre, have fun with your new best friend in your new uniform. I don't know if that's the closure I needed.
Make your team better. T-E-A-M.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's another subtle shot. He's brilliant at that.
Pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Pretty good at it. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. We'll hear from Whitney Merciless. We'll hear from Randall Cobb, one of the guys that we hope can fill the void left by DeAndre Hopkins. But in the hits, there are two major alphas in the way of the Texans that have a lot to say. They got huge chips on their shoulder, plus another two-piece combo in H-Town. Strohs and Rockets in action. The hits are lit next.
With our two-piece classic combo.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals. The tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Football season starts next month. We'll hear from Whitney Merciless, Randall Cobb. Training camp underway right here on Sports Radio 610. J.J. Watt, we've been talking about the defense a lot today. J.J., just sell me on it. Just sell me on the defense. I'm begging you, please, 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 please Sell me on this defense. Sell John Lopez on this defense. Go ahead, 99.
The red zone is the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, it's pretty clear in the game of football, the team that scores the most points wins. So when teams get down in the red zone, you have to make sure you keep them out. That's a big thing we're focused on. Obviously, getting off the field on third down, giving the ball back to our offense is huge. And one of the main ways to do that is stopping the run on first and second down. So you put them into tougher third down situations. Coach Weaver's done a great job so far in our virtual meetings and in the first day we've had. And we're looking forward to keep him working with him in the future.
I mean, it's only the most important thing you got to do. I want to be very clear here. We know this is going to be an offensive-oriented team. I mean, the Texans are going to win and go as far as Deshaun Watson takes them.
Yep.
That we know.
Yep.
But I've said this multiple times, and you can't emphasize it enough.
Say it one more time.
Even in high-scoring games, you go to Kansas City again. Let's say it's 38-35, fourth quarter, 6 minutes left, and the Chiefs get the ball, okay? You don't have to be a great defense to win in this NFL with all the rules that help the offense, all the rules that help the quarterbacks, everything favoring the offense. You just have to get key stops. You just have to get stops on what? Third down. You just have to get stops on in the red zone. You just have to get key stops in those moments in the fourth quarter when everyone knows that a team is either going to run the ball or pass the ball depending on the situation. And that's why, as much as this is going to be an offensive, they're going to go as far as this offense takes them, this defense cannot be nothing. I mean, it's got to be good enough to at least get some key stops, and that means stopping the passing game and getting pressure on the opposing quarterback, and that is where they're weakest.
You mentioned Kansas City, 37 days till the Texans take on the Chiefs. My gosh, where has the time gone? Well, I think we know where it's gone. But here is J.J. Watt being asked about Kansas City, the fact that you blew a 24-point lead the last time you were on the field and played a game that counted, and if you have moved on from that or if that's still something that you remember.
JJ, have you guys put that Chiefs loss behind you, or is it still incentive? And are y'all closer to a Super Bowl now than you think you were last year?
I think not learning from that situation would be naive of us. I think that you have to understand what happened in that situation. You have to let that situation fuel you, let that fire build within you, knowing how terrible that felt. So, yeah, we have to learn from it, grow from it, and be able to handle what comes next after that. So, no, I don't think that we're necessarily ignoring it or moving on from it. We learn from it, and then we grow and build off of it. So that's our goal, and I do think that learning from a situation like that does get us closer to where we want to be in terms of our goals of winning a championship.
I didn't hear anything about are you closer to a Super Bowl. I didn't hear that answered. So I did hear that it still stings, but closer to a Super Bowl, no.
JJ's just good. I mean, that was a great answer. You know, if you don't learn, you got issues. He just knows the business. He knows he's candid about things like that, and that was fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
And what about the face shield, JJ? There's been talk
about that.
A face shield. The NFL has made the face shield optional. You got kind of headline porned when you said you didn't want to wear a mask. Are we going to see number 99 rocking the face shield in 2020?
Now you put a fishbowl on your head and you go and try and run around for 3 hours and beat a grown man. It's not going to go too well. And so I don't think that would go too well for me either. So no, as long as it's optional, I won't be wearing it.
I got to be honest. You know, if I committed to play football right now, ain't no way I'd wear that whole shit. He's right. I'm sure it feels like a fishbowl. You know, my daughter gave me one of those clear masks. Yeah, the clear mask to try on. I don't wear it. I wear this one. But it's just weird.
It's like something you use to work under a car or something like
that. It's just a weird feeling. Could you imagine, like, exerting yourself with that thing?
Could not.
Yeah.
Absolutely could
By the way,
not.
I tried to drink a glass of water with it. You get used to it. Splashed it on my face.
Yeah, probably should flip that up when you're drinking water there, J-Lo. But, you know, I'm not an expert or anything like that. DeAndre Hopkins met with the media yesterday. Here's Nuke Hopkins talking about if he thought about opting out of the 2020 season.
I play football for a living, but I'm also a family man, you know, for a living. And hopefully it doesn't have to come to that, you know, but I take it day by day. But for myself, I take it day by day, and I really don't look, you know, past that.
Okay.
Look, you got to ask these questions. They might get a little bit old, and we're going to hear from Whitney Merciless today. Who else are we going to hear from?
Randall Cobb, first time.
I'm sure they're going to be asked the same questions. I don't blame anyone for asking that question because you want that audio, especially if you're Mark Berman. But I will say this. Here's the answer, okay? Everyone's thought about it. Every one of them. Every one of them has thought about opting out. It doesn't mean not, maybe to varying degrees and maybe, you know, to varying end results, but they all have thought about it.
There's two teams in the Texans' way as training camp begins, and we're going to go live to training camp, talk to Randall Cobb and Whitney Merciless. The Indianapolis Colts, who are trying to get back to where they were two seasons ago before Andrew Luck retired. They brought in Phillip Rivers and the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyrann Mathieu and Darius Leonard, who John Lopez says these two guys who are the two alphas on two of the biggest hurdles the Texans are going to have to leap over in 2020 to take that next step. You say that these two guys have a lot of similarities, Darius Leonard and Tyrann Mathieu.
Darius Leonard, he's really good at putting a chip on his shoulder. He's got that Tyrann Mathieu gene. I'm not saying he searches his name on Twitter unless he's mentioned. But yeah, he's got a lot of Tyrann Mathieu in him. He was had a media availability yesterday, and the first thing he was talking about how he didn't get a scholarship to Clemson, which is where he wanted to go, so he had to go to South Carolina State, and he had that chip all through college. And now he's talking about, you know, he's got this maniac mentality because people are, you know, downplaying him. And he was an all-pro rookie.
First team
all-pro as a rookie, but he's finding other things to get, you know, a chip on his shoulder.
Well, here was Darius Leonard talking about the Colts last year who missed the playoffs despite, you know, the first two-thirds of the season being in the mix to the point where on Thursday night, they had a chance to take control of the division at NRG late in the season. This is Darius Leonard talking about last season.
Yes, I'm very salty about it. It sucks. And, you know, if we don't make the playoffs, you know, it's a bust for us. And me being a competitor, me wanting to win Super Bowls, for a team not to make the playoffs, you're considered as a sorry team. No, I mean, there's no sugarcoat. You suck. Last year, I considered our team that we suck, and we got to make sure that we don't feel that feeling again.
Now, I do love that. I mean, he's just one of those dudes. But one of the things he was complaining about in that same availability was that he only got an 85 in the Madden rating. He says that's a chip on
his
shoulder.
Which is weird. Yeah. Like, he should be in the 90s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm not saying he doesn't have, but it's like he brought it up.
He should.
Yeah.
He should. Mm-hmm. Chris Leonard ain't no 85. That's at least a 91, 92.
He's going to have 85. Let me ask you if this is all right. He's going to have 85 written on his cleats this year. Because of the Madden rating.
Thanks a lot, Madden.
Now he's mad.
Thanks a lot. Good Lord. Gosh. Tyrann Mathieu, former Texan, Super Bowl champion with the Chiefs. He's found the right system. They use him correctly. He's not just a safety there. He says that this is a rivalry. He said this last week. The game that we're going to see in 37 days between the Texans and the Chiefs, he thinks a rivalry could be developing. We just heard from Darius Leonard, one of the alphas in the Texans' way. Here's another alpha, Honey Badger, or Honey Boo Boo, as he's been called on this program before.
Well, yeah, for sure. You know, I spent the season with, you know, Deshaun Watson and, you know, being with Patrick last season. Both of those guys, pretty similar into what they bring. You know, obviously, both of them are the franchise guys, and both of them are highly competitive. They come in the building with the right spirit, the right attitude. They work the right way. And obviously, they have the talent to lead a football club. And I think anytime you have two guys like that in that position in the same conference, you know, it's going to be special, especially once you talk about getting into playoff football and championship football. You know, I wouldn't mind playing against Deshaun Watson in big games. Feel like he's one of those players that brings it out of you. He makes you prepare the right way. And I'm sure Patrick does that as well for a lot of people.
Chiefs just seem really ready to go. And
they really
and
do.
With how experience their offense is and with how they seem to be very hungry, it seems like this offseason format benefits teams like Kansas City. Because, you know, Deshaun's talked about he's gotten to work a little bit with his new receivers, Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb, who we'll hear from later on in the show. Mahomes has put in some work with his guys, but he already knows them. They've already gone to an AFC championship 2 years ago and lost in overtime and won a Super Bowl. He knows these guys. And to me, that's a significant advantage. I just don't expect a Super Bowl hangover from the Kansas City Chiefs. I get it. It's hard to repeat. You can't compare this year to any other year that we've seen before. I just think Kansas City is a buzzsaw.
And they're scary, and they've gotten better. They've added talent. As far as, like, you know, the quote rivalry that he's talking about, he's really talking about the rivalry between Mahomes and Watson. He's talking about a, you know, a Manning Brady kind of thing. So hopefully Deshaun will do the Manning things and at least get to a Super Bowl.
Well, took a while.
Yeah, it took a while. There's only one until he got to Denver.
Took a little while for that to happen. We'll see what happens. But training camp is going on. The real thing starts next month. Houston Astros in action today. Second place Houston Astros. A's up a half game in the AL West. Astros got Christian Javier on the bump. 8:10 first pitch. Post-game show with yours truly.
Attaboy.
Right after. Madison Bumgarner on the mound for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Country ass Mad Bum, as I call him. If you don't believe me, here's how Madison Bumgarner spent his offseason a couple off seasons ago.
I'll try to make this shorter. Stepped on a snake, and you can imagine what that was like. And ended up, we killed the snake, and there was apparently just ate three rabbits. And my wife was able to save one of them. Believe it or not, that's a pretty incredible story.
Yeah, you know, his wife is impressive for saving a rabbit from a snake. How big is this rabbit that ate three? I mean, this snake that ate three rabbits. Holy smokes!
Little snakes can eat rabbits, right? I mean, I feel like I feel like snakes can consume a lot of food, proportional to their body.
Oh yeah, like it's oversized. Compared to their
body. You ever have a buddy or anything that had a pet snake?
Oh yeah.
Really?
I had a buddy in college that was terrifying. Had a real big, I can't remember the name of the type of the snake now. But yeah, it was. I'm not a big snake guy.
No, thank you.
Not a big snake guy.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I can't do that. Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely
not. Well, you're right. You shouldn't do it.
No. And like when people are holding snakes and they want to, no, thank you. I'm not holding a snake. That's not worth
it. I've held snakes reluctantly.
No, thank you.
But I'm not a big snake guy.
There's nothing cool about that. Like, I'm not touching a snake. Like, that's not, there's no picture cool enough for me to touch a snake. No. Sorry. No. Not even thinking about it. Not even considering.
Snakes?
No.
Rodents or bugs?
None.
Well, if you had to, in order.
None.
If you had to hold one.
None.
Snakes, rodents, or bugs?
None.
You have to. You don't have a choice.
None. Like, no way.
Figgy?
I'll probably go with bugs.
Yeah, bugs. Although rodents are cute.
Do spiders count? Because I ain't holding no spider.
Yeah, that's a bug.
No, thank you. Gosh. Disgusting. Snake. I don't. I'll never understand it. Astros 8:10, Christian Javier versus Madison Bumgarner. Last four Astros games, 4 hours and 44 minutes, 4 hours and 21 minutes, 3 hours and 58 minutes, 4 hours and 37 minutes.
Yeah, you don't like that, especially when you're doing the post-game show.
It's fine. I'm not in any position to complain about how long a game goes at this point just because it's been so long since it's happened. But those are some long-ass
games. Can I interest you in a stat?
Always.
Very deceptive stat, but a accurate stat nonetheless. This is the first time in August that the Astros have not been in first place since 2016.
Numbers are hot.
Because usually August is late season and the Astros are, you know, are badasses. But the A's won last night. Astros didn't play, so the A's are in first place.
Going to be facing the A's pretty soon, too, later on this week. And Mike Fiers not going to pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been anticipating the first matchup between the Astros and Mike Fiers. Not gonna happen. Gerrit Cole, former Houston Astro, on the bump yesterday for the New York Yankees. 3-0 on the season with a 2.55 ERA. Yankees are 8-1, and they've won seven straight. Two things that I think you should take away from the Yankees being in first place. Number two, we thought that they would be the best team in the American League. That early on appears to be true. And number two, with what you see with the Marlins, and by the way, Derek Jeter said they went out for a glass of milk, the players. Yeah. What the hell is he talking about?
What is that?
Is he talking about breast milk? Because I know they damn sure ain't going out there to get no number two milk or breast something like milk. That. Well, they went to the strip club. Some people like weird stuff like that.
See Katie Ledecky with the chocolate milk on her head?
Did not.
She swam a lap. You know Katie Ledecky, the greatest swimmer alive.
I don't.
She swam a lap with a glass of milk balanced on her head, didn't spill a drop.
No, I did not know that. That's pretty impressive, and I bet that video is fake. I don't think she could do it is, that.
It's real.
I would have to see it in person to believe it. I don't believe that. I've seen a lot of things digitally that are not real, so I'm gonna have to.
So anyway, I interrupted. No,
you didn't interrupt anything. The flow is still going.
Okay.
But number one, the Yankees are as good as we thought. Number two, with like the breakout with the Marlins and the Cardinals, baseball, they're going to have to make do. They're going to have to adjust. It's going to take a hell of a lot for them to cancel a season when the Yankees are by far the best team in baseball. I'm sorry, the Yankees get that favorable treatment.
Oh, that's a good point.
100%. If the Yankees are 19-1 or so, or if the Yankees are still humming, it will take a catastrophe.
That is a really good point.
Why do you keep bringing up the Yankees?
Because I'm saying they're a good team, Steve.
They're the marquee team.
Yeah, they're not canceling the season with the Yankees.
That's a really good point. They canceled the Field of Dreams game.
Thank God. Thank God, because they don't need to glorify that crappy movie any more than they already do.
It's not crappy.
And text line 713-572-4610. Cool. That movie sucks. Okay?
It would have been cool.
It's not a top 20 baseball movie. Field of Dreams is terrible. No. Awful. Mm-hmm. There's not many baseball movies I don't like. Field of Dreams is the only one.
It's really good.
It's the only one I don't
really,
like.
Really, really good.
Classic baseball movie's
classic
terrible.
Classic movie.
Just terrible. Classic.
Awesome.
Come on.
Awesome.
Over-romanticized.
It's awesome.
Over-romanticized with the music. If you build it, they will come. Get the hell out of here, Kevin Costner. Shoeless Joe Jackson's creepy ass coming out of the damn cornfield. What the heck are we doing here? Rockets in action tonight. TNT, 8 o'clock against Portland. Portland fighting for their playoff lives. Carmelo Anthony, Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum. Rockets have won their first two in the NBA restarts. They have avoided the Clippers in the
Lakers have clinched.
Lakers have clinched the first seed. So you're going to see the Lakers and Clippers kind of take their foot off the gas. Rockets setting themselves up nicely. It looks like they could be on the same side of the bracket as the Los Angeles Lakers, which I'm all for. I'm all in.
Well, you're going to have to be with one of them. So I think that's the lesser of two evils, although I think the Lakers are going to end up winning the championship. I think they're just going to turn it up when it's go time. Blazers, look, this is a bigger game for the Blazers than the Rockets, no question about that. And it'll be interesting to see Carmelo, you know, for one thing. So, yeah, it'll be worth watching, man.
Carmelo still playing, man. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. So is LeBron, though. That's crazy. You think Carmelo's
is
old?
That.
They are the same age.
Yeah.
And LeBron's just at a different level. So we got a two-piece combo today. Football season begins next month. Business, as they say, is picking up. In the lunch hour, John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. We are going to hear from Whitney Merciless about the Texans' defense. We are going to hear from Randall Cobb for the first time about the Texans' offense, and we are also going to talk about potential opt-outs. The deadline has been set. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby said not everyone has reported to camp. Could we see a Texan opt-out by the end of the week? Lunchtime next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.